We are fortunate in this century because of the fact that almost all the saints who have gone by, they are very old saints in connection with their self-knowledge and God-knowledge. We have all with us. Had we been just come about 100 years back, the saints of Swami Shivdayal Singh, the latest master of India, would not have been in our position. Had we come another 500 years back, the sayings of the Sikh saints, Guru Nanak and the others who followed him, would not have been, you know, on our record. Had even still further back, say, about 1400 years, we would not have the Quran in our position. Similarly, had you come before 2000 years, the valuable Bible, the holy sayings of the Christ could not have been in our hands. Still, we'll go back further. The sayings about 5 or 6 thousand years back, the sayings of the Jainis and the Buddhist would not have been in our hands. So you will see that we are fortunate that almost all these sayings and experiences of those great men who have gone by are now in our hands, and we can refer to them for the subject. In almost all the saying scriptures of the holy saints, we find one thing which helped them to contact God, and that is the powers of God which is working at the back of all creation and is immanent in every form. They say that to meet God, the first elementary step is to just listen and practice the names of God. All saints who came here, they use certain names for the expression of that almighty power, and that is called generally the Nam or word. Those are all very valuable, more than the diamonds and the jewels. For those who want to tread the path to reality, but the few there are who really understand the expression of Nam or word, there are two kinds of words. One, those saints and great ones who came in the past, they used from the various languages to express that reality. There are so many names of the same fruit. It does not matter if we use one name or the other name as expressed by the great ones, but the most important part is we should contact the power with these words express. So there are two parts of the thing. One, the word is used to express that God in action power or the reality at the back of all creation. And the other, the named. In this connection, If you want to really understand what Nam is, if you go through the various saint scriptures, we find that the power that creates the world and the universe is called name and shabda. These are Hindi words meaning music or voice by saints. Vedas likewise called it nad. Rishis call it akashvani, heavenly melody. Christ calls it world and the name of God. Muhammad call it kalmaya lahi, or the voice of Allah. Kalmaya asmani, voice of heavens. Or is me adam, the principal factor. Guru Nanak calls it Gurbani, voice of the master of name. But name, truly speaking, is no language. No language has power to emancipate languages, to emancipate. Languages are different for different nations, but the power that emancipates is universal. It is one for the whole universe. It is within Hindus, Mohammedans, Christians, Jews, in short, within every person of any religion. That is what is praised in the holy scriptures of all denominations. The holy Granth, Vedas, the Shastras, and the holy Quran and the holy Bible, etc. Similarly, Guru Nanak and other saints praise this power. But there are in the books only praises. That power itself is not in them. That is within you. It is a very deep thought requiring full attention for its conception. The name that emancipates is an unwritten law and an unspoken language. But our books are in languages. That power is not in any language. Turkish, Arabic, Persian, Sanskrit, etc. Accordingly, that cannot be brought into writing. Therefore, it is better to go to a holy person who has sense within, who analyzes his soul from the body and transcends it. When he initiates you to the path, you should put in your efforts and ascend with it. One law for the whole universe. It is not modern. It is in force since the day of creation. It was never designed by man. The Creator Himself designed it. We can neither alter it nor add to it. We have got to ascend through it. Whatever is being explained by the various saints is almost the same. The difference is in the language only, but the purpose and the subject is the same. I am just taking up a hymn of late Swami Shivdayal Singh, as also giving reference to the sayings of the other saints to prove that their thoughts were parallel on the subject. But those who remain within ethical codes or religious sectarianism are not being referred to here. I shall say, we are not anywhere near even the door of the philosophy given to us by the saints. All things who ascended higher had the same path. It is a natural science, not artificial. It is within every person. If all men rightly understood this philosophy, there should be no dispute in the world. But the negative power within them does not allow them to understand it. Today I take up the subject of the analysis of name, of word, as explained by Swamiji. What is name? He himself replies, let us now analyze the name in two classes dividing the same. I shall call them vocal and divine. Within this difference, gross and fine, call it vocal or call it word, which can be spoken or uttered. All that you can write or read is the vocal. Name of God is of two kinds, vocal and divine. Whatever can be spoken, written, or read is vocal name, which is again subdivided into four classes. Bakri. First is that which is articulated by tongue. As I am talking, as sparrows, crows and other animals utter voices. And we all talk with one another. Second, madhama, which is whispered very low in the throat by contacting the tongue with the palate. Third, prasanti, is that which is spoken at heart center of the yogis, meaning which is spoken in mind. The tongue and the throat are both unaware of it. Fourth is para. It is that with the yogi set in vibrations from the Nabi navel center yogis. But the name divine, that emancipates, is beyond these four. All holy books of the world praise that name, but that is not in them. When you ascend within, conquering lust, anger, etc., five passions, light will be visible, the veils will be torn asunder, and the peace will reign. Here, that divine name is audible. If there is birth of the soul in some physical form of the highest order, it is as human being. All religions agree at this point. Christians say, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Mohammedans say human being is the best of creation. Hindus say human form is God-like form, because the secrets kept hidden within a human form by the Creator are not found anywhere else. Guru Nanak says with other saints that within us are millions of mountains and rivers and other creations. It is supported by Maulana Rum. Within are oceans, forests and mountains. At the sight of which our thought and imagination simply baffles. All things are ascended. Who ascended higher have like thoughts. These disputes among religions are the outcome of the ignorant preachers. And Swamiji says, the name that can be written and read are spoken in vocal name. That will lead to the divine name beyond, audible through your master alone. A person conveys his thought to another through a language. Not only persons, animals too, convey their thought to other animals through animal language. And birds likewise convey their thoughts to other birds through some bird language. We all convey our thoughts to one another through some language. Now, this discourse is being conducted through some language. Any saint who has sensed all express, will express in experiences in local language. The Lord God, having placed all the heavens within every man, and having drawn a veil behind the eyes, and pushed the person outside, that is here in this physical world. Throughout his life, the person remains outside. The priceless treasures placed by the Lord God within his person remained untouched, like the millions of rupees buried underground in the house of the person who did not dig them up. Hence the person came empty-handed and departed empty-handed. Guru Nanak says, within this body are nine heavenly kingdoms, with all the shops, markets and streets. Within this body are Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, the Trinity of God who create the worlds. This is the message of Guru Nanak. But these secrets within are available through a master who has ascended his soul within. If a person is desirous of becoming a doctor or an engineer, only a doctor or an engineer can help him. There is a sort of locked window behind our eyes which cannot be unlocked by ourselves. Shams Tabriz says, likewise, the Lord Emperor has strongly locked the door, descending as a man. He himself opens the door. God has drawn a strong veil behind the eyes. He himself has come as another person like us, as a master, to withdraw the veil. What is his teaching? Shams Tabriz says next. Silently listen to five heavenly melodies that descend from the seventh sky beyond the sixth. Similarly, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Just see the time of here. I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. See Corinthians. That power which emancipates is not up to this, up to the eye center. When you locate the nine openings in the human body, through which our attention flows outside, with two eyes, two ears, two nostrils, one mouth, one sex organ, and one rectum. Then in the tenth inlet, the third eye behind the eyes, divine music is reverberating. That is the sweetest of all musics, and very charming. Holy books are world religions, only praise that divine music. Sheikh Farid, an Indian saint, says, sugar is sweet. Sugar products are sweet. Honey is sweet. Fresh milk is sweet. But compared with God, O Farid, none of these sweet things is as sweet as you are. Sugar products, honey and milk are all sweet things, but the sweetness of God cannot be found in them. God and divine music are one. That is placed by God within every man, person. If we do not rend the veil and ascend within, it is our fault. Until you meet a master who goes within, you cannot have these treasures. But fortunately, if you meet such a master, call him teacher or call him by any other name, and according to his instructions, if you ascend within, all these treasures and powers are at your disposal. A master knowing the name sublime helps in turning, in tuning the soul to divine. A master who ascends the heavens within and who is called as true master and holy granth will not advise us to leave our religion, our nation, our family or our home. On the contrary, he advises that we should divert our attention to the music within us while living in our family. This is only what is needed. A soul in tune with the music will receive peace. It means that master's duty ends here, but it is up to the student now whether he brings his soul in tune with it or not. Only a master of such great fame unites the named and the name. It is essential that the master himself should be one who ascends within. There are such masters in the world, both among Hindus and Mohammedans and other religions, but they are not easily available. My master had to search hard for 20 years before his initiation by Baba Jamal Singh Ji in 1894. There were many initiations. There were many learned priests and monks, several relations, sectarians, but so long as a true master is not contacted, they are of no use. I had myself to search for the master for over 15 years. What is the work of a true master? To disclose secret of divine name and then to connect your soul to divine music within. If you repeat the vocal in mind, the name divine you can find. Now the question arises, what is whether the vocal name can be of any use to us? Allah, Khuda, Wahiguru, Ram, Rahim, Ishwar, Parmeshwar, God and Jehovah, etc. are our words. These are vocal names. These are not divine names. Divine alone gives emancipation and peace. For instance, if we repeat sugar, sugar, our mouth is now sweetened. But if we eat sugar, our mouth will be sweetened. Hence, Swamiji says the divine name is beyond speaking, writing and reading. For that which can be spoken, written or read is a vocal name. The named is divine, and name is vocal. Name without the named is of no use. Just as our repetition of sugar, sugar, without eating sugar is of no use. Similarly, if you go on repeating Ram, 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 or Rahim, Rahim, or any other name, we get nowhere. The world is clinging to the names, but the power Ram is neglected. The same point is stressed by Mohammedan saints. You are calling the name, look for the named. A name without the named is of little use. All the life was spent in books, remaining in words only. The name could not be seen. So long as the name is not seen, all is useless. Tulsi, a great saint of India, also says, so long as we do not see and contact with the Nam power, we cannot reap the full fruit. Just as by uttering the words of money, 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 man does not become rich. We have to earn it by hard labor. This name, to, can be had, can be contacted only within our own body. This is what Guru Arjuna says on the subject. Now stating further, Swamiji says, cleaning the mind and soul with vocal, ascend within to find unequivocal. We have to make use of both the vocal and the divine. By the help of vocal, we shall associate ourselves with the masters, and we shall clear all our doubts. When our inquiry is completed, that everything is within us, we will request the master to initiate us, and we shall sit at meditation early in the morning for 2 or 3 hours according to his instructions. It will result in withdrawal of attention up to the eye center. Guru Nanak says, likewise, close the doors of 9 exits, live absorbed in the 10th year own, closing the 9 openings, withdrawing attention from these, we reach a lane leading to the kingdom of God. What is happening there? Where unending echoes of unplayed music, where unending echoes of unplayed music are audible to a master alone. The life of all the lives in all the universes is there. That is divine music. The same thing is said by Guru Ram Das, fourth master of the sixth Guru Nanak being the first. 9 doors, all these 9 are tasteless, sweet nectar drops in the tent. Yogis came to the Gurus and asked them about the Naam and its location. The latter, the master told them that when you transcend the 6 centers of the body and come up, you will then contact that holy name, divine in nature. The sweetness of the nectar that liberates is not found below the eye center. When you ascend higher, there is nectar that you drink. The same thing is said by other saints. Just look into your holy box. When your inquiry is completed, you will come to the point that all speak of the same truth. Name divine and the name are one. Through your soul you can listen. The music divine which is reverberating is to lead us to the named. When you meet the named, you become the named. Every drop that drains the ocean becomes the ocean. Similarly, the soul merging in God becomes God. All saints who ascended on the higher planes have one mission, to merge the soul into God. A soul absorbed in music divine is what I call the name divine. When the soul clings to the power of Ram, as you call it, you get peace. Ram means who is diffused all over the world. Every person has showers of nectar within, but who is drinking that nectar? Maya, lust, anger, etc. While enjoying sweet things in the world, we are being robbed of our treasures. When vacating the 9 exits, we ascend to Turiya, the first region of the Masters, 1000 flame region. You receive nectar and showers there, tasting which lust, anger, etc. Ramas will take to their heels. You will then realize how lost you were in a dream. This physical life then appears only a dream. The divine music that is reverberating there will lead us to the God.
Good evening and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The recording you listened to was the first 30 minutes of a talk called Message from India, which was given in 1955 at Delhi, India. Our reader this evening is a past recorded reading from Joan Birch, which she did on January 1st, 2012. Joan read for the telephone satsang from 2008 to 2014. We are grateful for her years of service, as we are equally grateful to all of Master's readers. So now, let's begin.
I'll begin with the Master's message from Spiritual Elixir, Volume 2, Christmas and New Year's Message, November 1970. Dear ones, all scriptures handed down the ages are conclusive that God is spirit. Moreover, God made man in his own image. The image cannot be but spirit. As God is infinite, not subject to death, then man, in his own essence, can also be not subject to death. He is conscious entity, a drop of the ocean of all consciousness, an indweller in the body. And on account of that, the body is working. God is a living presence within our being, controlling us in the body. Both soul and God reside in our bodies, but we are identified with the body so much so that we have forgotten our own self. We are under a grand delusion and cannot see the world in its right perspective. Unless we know ourselves by rising above body consciousness, how can we know God who is residing with us in the body? Truly speaking, man's body is the temple of God. We should, therefore, be conscious of our divine nature and try to regain our Godhead. For that, you turn away completely from outside and outgoing faculties for a while and close yourself in the closet of your body. The ringing radiance of God will become effulgent. God is eternal, all wisdom, all happiness. So you are the same. Mind that you and God are one. You can never be separated. He is ever with you, enlivening you. His life is your life, and you cannot live without him. So you have nothing to fear. Man is what he thinks about all day long. One can only live one moment at a time. Emerson said, "There is no moment in eternity more important than this moment. All real good or evil that may befall him is from himself." If a man lives in a good or bad way in the real present, he will ensure the same in the future. If you have bad thoughts for others, you will harm not them only, but yourself as well, as thoughts are very potent. So try to live in the living present, forgetting the past and the future, and fill every moment of your life with simple trust in him, in all loving devotion. He will manifest in you when you choose and turn your face to him. As loving advice I give you, from this moment, let love be your constant companion and trust him in all things. God is love, and love is God. And the way back to God is also through love. Guru Gobind Singh says, "Hear ye all, I tell the truth. God is attained through love. Rest assured that he is with you always, and be of good cheer. With all best wishes, yours affectionately, Kirpal Singh." Now I'm going to read the Master's talk from a Satsang Desh, August 1974, entitled, "Come Back, My Children." This talk was given in English at Sanbani Ashram, Sanborn to New Hampshire, on Tuesday morning, October 17, 1972, after the meditation sitting. Come back, my children. Kabir says, I have not seen any man born who is happy. So masters say, what is the reason why we are not happy? The source of happiness is within you, and you have been seeking it outside all through life in eating, drinking, enjoying scenes, music, this and that thing. If you had withdrawn from outside and risen above body consciousness, you would have found the source of light. So masters say the human body is the highest in all creation. We have to be in the human body to come in contact with that source of all joy, all happiness, all wisdom, which is within you. Now you see we are all identified with the body through the outgoing faculties. Our attention is all identified with it, so much so that we have forgotten ourselves. They say, rise within you, tap inside, and this is in one and all. How long will this body continue? Few days, few years? After all, we have to leave the body. So this is the golden opportunity in which we must find out that source of happiness which is within us. That can only be had if we rise above body consciousness. This is what the masters come and teach us. First, to rise above body consciousness, withdraw your attention from all outside. Then, withdraw your attention from the body below. Where does it go? Up. Because the seat of the soul is at the back of the eyes. And at the time of death, when the soul leaves the body, it withdraws first to the back of the eyes and then transcends. There the water of life is flowing, you see, is trickling. So they address all men alike. Well, please withdraw your attention from the body below. Go up. That's the way back to light. That's the way back to God. This has been the teaching of all masters. This outer life has been given to you for a short time. Make the best use of it. After all, you have to leave the body. When you have to leave the body, why not leave slowly now? Leaving the body means leaving the body as at the time of death. A dying man's outer attention is withdrawn. If any man goes to him, he does not recognize him. Then the soul, the attention, is withdrawn from the body, and the body becomes numb. The eyes are upturned, and it goes. This is what is called spirituality. O man, learn to leave this body. After all, you have to leave this body someday. Sooner or later, maybe tomorrow, maybe after leaving this room, maybe that you go to sleep and never rise again. Sleep is called the younger sister of death. And moreover, you see, we are attached either to the body or the outside possessions, our family, our contacts, our friendships, our outer enjoyments. When you repeat a certain action daily, then that becomes a habit, and habit turns into nature. You cannot leave it. So this is something to be done. You will say, we have come here to enjoy, and this death question comes in every day. But this is the thing you have to do. If you are ignorant about it, then what will happen? After all, you have to leave. This attachment grows more and more. Why? You should go into it. Leave all desires. Leave all desires. The desires that are attached to outside, to possessions and everything. Lord Buddha says, be desireless. The 10th guru says, be desireless. Desire is the thing which attracts you outside from day to day. You will go down, headlong down. The source of all attachment outside is your desires. There was one Wali Ram, the prime minister of Akbar the Great. It was the custom in Akbar's court that when the king arrived, all ministers would stand up and would not move until the king sat down. On this day, Wali Ram had a coat in which there was a scorpion, and the king was coming, so he could not move, out of respect. It stung him one place, then another, then three or four times more. He kept quiet. When the king sat down, he said, "Look here, do you know this scorpion has bitten me so many times, and I have not moved in obedience to the king? If I take it that I am now prime minister, I have been given so much high position only by obedience to the king here. If I am obedient to my lord, what more can I become?" He pulled off his coat, threw it down, and ran away to the wilderness. The king was very fond of him. He sent a minister to bring him back. With all his entreaties, Wali Ram said, "No, I have done that service. Now I am taking the service of God." Then the king himself went to him. He told him, "Look, Wali Ram, you are my prime minister, the most wise. I respect you and love you. Will you come back?" "No, I have taken another service, a higher service than yours." He said, "Well, I would offer you anything you'd like." And Wali Ram said, "Anything? I would like you to go away from this place." You see? So what this desire is that binds us to the outer things. We may be prime minister, maybe king, maybe anything. Man wants to have something, and to get that, he has to work like anything, maybe right or wrong. So masters say you cannot leave this body and outer things unless you become desireless. Please leave off desire. Of course, it is these desires for outside things that are binding you. If you have a desire to know God, to become His, you will become unconcerned. Do you know what happens? Breathing is going on day and night, and thy days are numbered. Masters in the East say, thy breaths are numbered. It must be finished. It goes in, goes out. We are just absorbed in our outer thoughts. We don't care. We are quite ignorant about this. All the time, life is passing away. Time and tide wait for no man. After all, it is something like a pitcher full of water. Drop by drop, it is oozing out. Then what will happen? One day the pitcher will be empty. All the water will be out. Similarly, these numbers of breaths, or drops of water, you might say, they are dropping out one by one. We think we are getting old. Truly speaking, we are growing young. A man who is to live 50 years, if he has passed 10 years, he has 40 years left. When 20 years have passed, he has only 30 years left. Are you growing older or younger? It is going down. So first of all, man should have some aim in life. That's the main thing. What is your aim? And the highest aim for a man is to know God. And the time is getting shorter. All of you are sitting here. I think you are 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years old. If 50 years have passed away, you have got only a short time left to yourself. Have you achieved your purpose? And that purpose is knowing God only. Acting and posing won't do. You are deceiving your own self and deceiving the God within you. Have you reached God? Have you seen God? Are you true to Him? If so, that's good. If not, we should hurry up. In the short time that remains, we should put in more time. so as to be ready before we leave the body, because we have to leave the body when the time is finished. So when the number of breaths is over, then? These are very common things, simple things, no exaggeration, hard facts. You are the best judge of yourself. Are you true to your own self? Are you honest? Have you come in contact with God? These contacts have been given to you as a favor, I tell you, grace of God. We have not earned them. Something has been given. Grow further, then it will be better. Do you know the parable that Christ gave? A rich man came and gave to one man 5 talents, another man 2 talents, a third man 1 talent. After some time, he came up and asked the man who had been given 5 talents what he had done with them. He had made 10. That's all right. The one to whom he had given 2 had made 4. But the man who had been given 1, he said, "Oh, I have kept it very safe." So what did he do? He took away the 1 talent that he had. You follow me? What I say? Set aside all your intellects, you see. These are hard facts, what is coming before us. This is a heart-to-heart talk. Don't you see that way, what I am pressing before you? Every day, every hour, every minute, every second is bringing you closer to the end. Our time has been frittered away, and we have not achieved the object. The result will be, we will be bound to the outside, and we will come back. And the cause of binding is only your desires. Desires bring us back. Worldly desires will bring you back, and the desire for God will take you to Him. Whatever your ruling passion is at the end of your life, you will be driven there. That's the law. I'm not giving you any bombastic talk, only simple words, what I have come to know. And I think it appeals to everyone. I am not saying anything which is not understandable. Don't you think like that? Then, what have we done? We deceive ourselves, that's the pity. Why does not God approach us? Because we deceive Him. 2 seekers after truth went to a saint. He simply tested them to see which one was fit. He gave them each a pigeon and told them to kill it where nobody sees you. So one was very active, very clever. He went around the side of a wall and killed him and came back in a few minutes. The other poor fellow went from morn till night and could not find any place to kill him where nobody was seeing him. He came back in the evening. "Master, there was no place where I could kill the pigeon." "Why?" "Well, first the pigeon saw me, then I was seeing. He was fit." These are simple things. The only thing required is to live up to them. That's all. If you have an MA or a PhD, or if you are a king or an emperor, no value. You will have to leave the body, and you will have to go where you are attached. Masters do come from time to time to take you out of the body first. The first lesson, the ABC, the more you are attached outside, you cannot go up. The diary is meant only for that purpose. Do you see now how you develop, how much time you put in, and where you are attached? Leave them one by one. We pass the time in ignorance. All the time, God is calling you from within. The sound principle, the music of the spheres, is coming within you from above. All masters say so. Tulsi Sahib says, "Sound is coming from the heavens, calling me back." Shams Tabrez says, "Out of this temple of the body, I'm hearing a sound calling me. Come up. Bell is ringing wildly. Come back, my children, come back." You see? And we do not listen. This is how masters see, and this is within you. light is given to show you which way to go, and sound directs you where to go. These are the two ways back to God, is it not? So masters always say, what is all this about? Why did it happen? Because of desire. We are oblivious of our own self, too. We have forgotten ourselves. This forgetfulness starts from where? From the human body. We are having the body. We are identified with the body. This is due to that. When we are working from the level of the body, and the body is changing, and the world is changing, we are under a grand delusion, and desires keep us always given up to the outer world. When you leave the body, then, where are the desires of the outer world? Desire for God is better than the desires for the world. These are very simple lessons given by the masters. Very simple. Even a child can understand, what to speak of the learned people. But learned people usually forget all these things in intellectual wrestling. That is why masters have great love for you. Who? Not the master, the God in him. Because you are his children. He sends men now and then to bring you back home. So for that, what do we have to do? The point is, who can help you in that? Some master, call him by any name you like, someone who is competent, who rises above body consciousness at his own will and pleasure and traverses into the beyond. He appears to be working in the world, but he is unattached. The boat is in the water, but the water is not in the boat. What does he do? He always says, look here, God is calling you back. He is within you. You are receiving that thing, but you are ignorant. You are attached outside. You are going under a delusion and never cared for it. So once you have come across a master like that, God has sent him for that very purpose, because you are children of God, so he has love for you. He takes pity on us and looks after our welfare. Once we come to the feet of the master, he has to look after us. What does he do? He winds up all previous actions. He winds up. The word winding up I am using. Winds up to pay off all debts and takes you back home. If simply we keep his commandments. That's the point. Generally, we don't keep his commandments. We simply modify something, which is to our own interests or purposes. We deceive our own self. We deceive the God in us, the master in us. So always I submit, be true to your own selves. You deceive the God in you and your own self. After all, you have to leave these outer things. All attachments, all enjoyments, all possessions. If you now begin to leave off slowly, how? When you are given a contact with the Nam power within you, keep in contact with that and live up to the commandments of the Master. Slowly these things will leave you. After all, here we have no rest. Outer things have no bliss, no joy in them. Only when our attention is absorbed in the outer things, then we feel joy for as long as it remains absorbed. When that is taken away, or we are withdrawn from that, we feel unhappy. If we want permanent peace, joy, then we should come in contact with that power which is unchanging, which is eternal. God never dies. Outer things leave you. Masters come to give you a contact with that God into expression power. So this is what he says. Slowly leave off. What does diary mean? Whatever our attachments, points of attachment, may be due to, leave them off one by one. Weed out and put in time to your meditation. Meditation means withdrawing our attention from all outside and coming in contact with that power which is within you. So masters say that in this life you will have permanent peace, permanent joy. You will enjoy forever, never be unhappy. They request you people for your good to come in contact with that God into expression power, which is all joy, all happiness, all wisdom, all eternal. Then you will have that in your life. All your miseries are removed. All your outside troubles or disappointments will end. Masters only want to give you permanent peace and joy. They want nothing more. Remain where you are. You have got some labels on your bodies. That makes no difference. Whatever religion, whatever master we follow, wants this to be done. We simply try to go by the rules and regulations fixed up by us, but we should not lose the spirit of them. So this meditation, you will find how much of a necessity it is. How much of a necessity is the diary? This applies to one and all, including myself and everybody. The law does not spare anybody. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. If you say, you don't know, no, you have to go. Every moment is passing away. They don't care for you. Time and tide wait for no man. Just consider calmly. This is a time afforded to you by God to come to your own self and see what is happening with you. In the towns, you have never dreamt of these things, is it not? This short time while you are here, it is worth more than emeralds and gold and rubies. Forget all your environments as long as you are here and see to the things in their right perspective, what they are, what you are doing. Are you going headlong down into the world to come back again and again? Or are you trying to go back? You will get help. Masters do come up to help you. They give you on the very first day a demonstration how to rise above body consciousness. And they also take care of all your deeds, karmas of the past. They wind them up. It is a very onerous duty, you see. Soul is bewildered to think of that duty. So it is a great blessing to come to the feet of the Master. Who gives it? God. To whom? Those who are yearning for Him. The more hungry is man, the quicker he gets. The desire for God will bring you closer to God. If you take one step, He will take 100 steps to receive you. And if you have desire for the world, diametrically opposite, you will go down, that's all. Mind that, so long as we do not lecture to our own self, no outer lecture will help us. These things you do know. I am not telling you anything new. You see, these are the hard facts. Unless you lecture to your own self, you have heard this talk now. Now you have to see to your own self what you are doing. You have to understand nobody can help you unless you help yourself. So consider calmly what I have placed before you. If the ruling passion for God will remain, all others will subside, and you are sure to go back to God after leaving the body. And now you will be with Him. God says in the Quran, those who remember me, I remember them. What I have submitted to you, take it home to your heart. Consider over it calmly. Nobody can help you unless you help yourself. You become the lecturer to your own self. and the result will be you will have peace, joy, permanent. These are heart-to-heart talks, you see, heart-to-heart, not lecturing, no new things. These are hard facts. We have simply been absorbed in other ways, you see. We have looked to the world so fondly and not to our own self. Unless we look to our own self, how can we know what our fate is? How we are going? We are always looking to others outside. How do the people think of me? That is also looking outside. So from this moment onward, have the sweet remembrance of God. Don't forget. Have it for 3 days, 2 days. Ramakrishna says, if a man has the sweet remembrance of God continuously for 3 days, he will see God. That will become the ruling passion. Continuously for 3 days, he said. Continuously. I don't think you want to leave now. Laughter. So have the sweet remembrance of God. That's all right. And that ends the talk. And we are ever aware of the Master's constant protection and love. Thank you.
Joan's reading was the November 1970 Christmas and New Year's message and Come Back, My Children, from the August 1974 Satsang Desh. We thank her for reading Master's valuable words. There were 43 participants at tonight's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and thank you, Master, for bringing us together to receive your loving guidance and blessings.
So, what it is that brings us into the world again and again? These are the outward enjoyments. So when you get to have this, then naturally you won't come back. You will go where you are, get more bliss and more joy.